Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
Here we have what? What is this? A girly sheet? That is your... It is a gorgeous tablecloth, thank you very much. What we have here is a mirror. I'm not entirely sure why you guys couldn't tell that. Can't you tell? It's a mirror. Can you see it now? No? Okay. But you're getting the reflection from the mirror, right? You're not? But the mirror's right here. Like I know it is. I know the mirror is here. Is it working? Okay. So we have a mirror here, but it's covered up with a girly sheet. Okay. And even though I had a pretty decent flashlight, and I shined it on the mirror, because the mirror is all covered up, the mirror is not working very well. Correct? Tracking with me? Mirror reflects things. Mirror that's covered up, not reflecting things. We've got that. That's pretty straightforward, simple, obvious. Many of us, if not all of us in this room, have struggled with this reality in our own lives. Not the going to the bathroom and looking in the mirror and being like, oh, I can't see myself because there's a sheet on my mirror. Not that, but we have struggled with the reality that we were made in the image of God. And no one can see it. For some of us in this room, it is a matter of we have looked at our lives, and when we look at our lives, we don't see the presence of God at all. We don't see Him at work. We don't see Him inside our hearts. We don't see Him in our minds. All we see is really rude things. We feel hate. We feel darkness. All we can think of are the thoughts that keep cycling, the thoughts that keep spiraling. We think about the dark things. All we feel is depression and anxiety and fear. Sometimes it's just a whole lot of anger and judgment and bitterness, and we feel all those things. Sometimes it's we hate ourselves and we hate those around us, and we don't know how to deal with those things. We don't see any hope, any point to our lives. And some of us even look at our lives and all we can see is all the screwed up things that we've ever done. And so when we look at ourselves and we look at our lives, all we see, we don't even see a girly sheet. We see just a blackness and emptiness. And no matter what you try, it feels like you're taking the flashlight and you're looking through your life. You're looking through your life, and all you can see is how you're messed up, broken, no good. And you are consumed by guilt and shame for your past. Others of you, you just don't see how this whole God thing works. It feels like, okay, maybe there is a God, but He's far off, He's distant, He's far away, He's got nothing to do with me. We're on our own here. I don't see how God is involved in any of the situation. All we see in the world is brokenness and pain and chaos, and all we see are the negative things that have happened to us, and we feel like we are alone in the darkness. Some of you are in the place where you see the darkness and you see some of the good things and you're trying to make a difference. That's what you're doing. Maybe that's why you're even here, is you're like, I want to make a difference. I want to make a change. I want to help my family, or I want to help my neighbors, or I want to help the community, or I want to help something. I want to change the world, and you're trying, and you're trying, and you're trying, and it feels like there's no power behind it. And you know that there's better ways of doing it. You know that there's a better possibility, a better future. You have some kind of hope and desire for it, but you're trying for it, and it's got no oomph behind it. And I think all of us can relate to this feeling of being so broken, so messed up, having so much garbage that we're not really sure if this God thing is really for us. You come to a place like this and you're like, I'm not like those good people who have their lives together and can do this God thing. The interesting thing is, many of us in this room are feeling that, and we're looking at each other thinking, oh, they've got their lives together, but they're thinking about themselves, I don't have anything together either. It says in Genesis, very beginning of the Bible, Old Testament stuff, very beginning of the Bible, chapter 1 of Genesis, the first book that we have in the Bible. It says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then when we go to the book of Colossians, late in the New Testament, way near the back, the Apostle Paul writes in chapter 1 of his letter to the Colossian church, chapter 1, verse 15, it says, the Son, or Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In the book of Matthew, Matthew records Jesus saying, chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus is talking to the people, and he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. We were made in the image of God. We're supposed to be a the image of Jesus. We're supposed to let our good works shine before man so that it makes them think about God. How are we supposed to do that? Well, when we look at the book of 2 Corinthians, which is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, the church in Corinth, in chapter 3, he says this. Now, I'm going to read a longer passage here, and then we're going to talk about it and explain it. But do your best to try to track along with me, okay? This is 2 Corinthians. It's in the New Testament, chapter 3, and I'm going to read 7 to 18. This is what Paul says. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Okay, I know that was dense, okay? This is what Paul was saying. Back in the Old Testament, God frees the Israelites from slavery. And then he goes to speak to the people, and the people are like, no, we're too scared of him. So Moses goes up on a mountain, and he gets the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are written on stone tablets. And when Moses comes down from the mountain, his face is glowing because he has been in the presence of God. He has got the glory of God. And his face is glowing so much that he has to put a veil over his face to keep people from freaking out. Okay? And Paul is saying, you know what? That Old Testament law, those old rules, they showed death, they brought condemnation, that it was just a temporary thing. And the glory of God, you really didn't get to see it. It was veiled, it was covered, it was there, but you couldn't see it. He says, but when you turn to Jesus, that veil that covers the glory of God, that comes off. And you get to see the glory of God. And then Paul says, and we all who with unveiled faces, so the veil has come off, contemplate or think about the Lord's glory, we get changed. We get transformed into the image. We get transformed, changed into the image of God. With ever increasing more and more and more the glory of God. Which comes from the Spirit. Paul's saying that before Jesus, there was always something between us and God. And no matter how bright the flashlight was, it really never got reflected. But now, because of Jesus, the veil comes off. And you can see the reflection. You can see the bright light that's bouncing off of this. And I'm trying to like shine it in some of your eyeballs. But the point is, ooh, that was a handsome looking guy. For some reason, we go through life and we think that we are supposed to be a flashlight. That if our batteries aren't strong enough, if the lens isn't clear enough, or if we don't have a big enough light bulb, whatever, then we're not doing a good job. We can't do it. We're too broken, we're too messed up, we've got too much corrosion inside, the batteries are there, but the connections aren't right, we're not able to cast the light enough, we're not able to produce enough light, we're in such a dark room that the light bulb that we've got is not able to shine and make a difference, and we think that we are the flashlight, but in reality, we are not the flashlight, we are a mirror, and the flashlight is God. You don't need to produce light. You don't need to be perfect. You don't need to be the thing that creates change. You don't need to be the source of goodness in your heart. You don't need to be the source of goodness in your family. You don't need to be the one who has it all together. You just need the veil taken off so that you can reflect all that God is. You're not a flashlight, you're a mirror. And when Paul is saying Listen, there was that veil that covered us up. And the more we look at God, the more we think about Him, the more we contemplate Him, the more focused on Him we become, the more the mirror shines and reflects the goodness of God. The more you stare into the face of the mirror, you see me. The more you take, if this is you, the more you stare at the goodness of God, the more of the goodness of God gets reflected in you and gets shown to everyone around you. You don't need to be good. You don't need to be perfect. You don't need to have it all together. You just need to take the veil off and focus more and more and more on the goodness of God, and He will reflect Himself into you and all around you. Now the problem is that some of us in this room are still like this, and we're trying. And we're saying, you know what? I don't need to reflect anything. I don't need to have any other light. I'm good. I've got a light on my own. Some of us are in this room and we're thinking, yeah, but if I stay covered, then all of my imperfections stay covered. Brad, can you help me out for a second? Some of us are in this way. Brad, I want you to take the veil off the mirror. Some of us are like, no, leave it. Don't. Stop it. No. That illustration worked a little too well. The good thing and the bad thing is he broke it. So that's 7 years of bad luck, which means basically you've got to work for me for 7 more years. Oh man, we got shards everywhere. That's great. I mean, it's not like it was my wife's mirror or anything. But seriously, some of us are in this place where we're going to do anything to keep ourselves from being opened up and exposed. We want to remain hidden. We are so scared of people seeing us, so scared of people seeing the brokenness, so scared of what people are going to find out, so scared of the cracks and the problems. Folks, this mirror is all busted up. You know what it still does? It still reflects. The image isn't quite as pretty anymore. I mean, still kind of pretty. But the image is there. And for one reason or another, whether we think that we can produce the light on our own, or we think that we don't want those cracks and those problems showing through, we want to stay hidden. We want to stay veiled. We want to stay covered up. And Paul says, you know what? Because of Jesus, if you surrender to Jesus, if you turn to Him, He will take that veil off. And what you will see is you will see the glory of God start reflecting in you and to those around you. And people will see your good works, and they will not give you glory, they will give God glory. And there will be change. And the incredible thing is God's light is so strong, so powerful, that it actually starts to change you as the mirror. It changes the cracks, heals the cracks, heals the brokenness. He starts to change you. You know, we know this principle. Even before mirrors were created, we know this principle. The moon does not shine. It reflects the light that hits it from the sun. God built this into the nature of our world, that we are supposed to be the reflectors. But if we turn away from God, or we just try to cover up, we won't be reflecting anything. You don't need to produce goodness on your own. Your brokenness does not keep God from shining goodness to you and around you. Jesus wants to fix the broken stuff. He wants to change your heart. Jesus has made a way to bring you closer to God, to reflect more and more and more of Him in you. And He is so much brighter than the darkness that is around you. There is no darkness out there that can consume the goodness and the light of God. And it is freely available to each one of you. So what do you do with that? You're not a flashlight, you're a mirror. What are you supposed to do with that? Number one, if you are here and you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, then you are still veiled. You're still covered. It may be a pretty flowery sheet so that when people look at you, you're like, oh, that's so pretty. But there's no light reflected. And until this gets taken down, you will not have that light of God in you reflecting His image and His goodness and His glory and His healing. And you need to surrender your life to Him so that He can pull it off. Don't keep fighting Him. Don't keep pushing Him away. Don't keep hugging it until the mirror breaks. You need to surrender to Christ so that He can start showing His light. If you've already done that, then as Paul says, as we contemplate the glory of God more and more, what we need to do is we need to focus our lives more and more on the goodness of God. That means spending time reading your Bible. That means spending time in prayer. That means spending time listening to what God is saying to you. And the more time that you focus in on Him and you start to notice Him around you and focus on Him at work and you see Him working and you hear Him working at work and at home. I'm not talking about we need to be monks and we need to go sit away in a closet somewheres and just sit and think about Scripture and pray all day. I'm talking about bringing Him into your life, into your everyday life. When you're on the trail or when you're at work or when you're at home with the kids or when you're at the movies, whatever it is you're doing, you bring Him in and you allow Him to speak to you in those moments. The more that you are drawing closer to Him, the more you get right in His face, and the brighter the light is that gets reflected. And so you may be a follower of Jesus already, but it's time for you to really focus in and take your faith seriously and focus more on God. Others of you, Christ has opened you up, and you're okay with bringing God into certain parts of your life, but there are certain parts of your life that you want to keep hidden, that you are most embarrassed, most scared of, most worried about. And what you need to do is you need to allow God to shine into even those dark places of your heart and your soul. Because it's not that those things aren't producing light. They're never going to produce light. What you want is you want God's light to be so bright and so full that it shines into those dark places, into those broken parts of your heart and your soul, and He produces something good out of it. Where He can shine even into the messiest, most broken parts of your life, and He can still make goodness shine out of it. Jesus is the light. He has removed the barriers. And the more you look at Him and don't hide anything from Him, the more His light reflects in you to everyone around you. The worship team's going to come back up, and they're going to do a couple more, two, three more songs, and I don't know exactly what God is stirring inside of you, whether it's I need to take this step, and you're terrified, you're scared, what does it mean for me to surrender to Jesus? I'm not even sure I believe in this thing, or whether you're in this place where it's like, can I do it on my own? Do I really need to surrender that part of my life to Him? Or you're in the place where it's like, I'm scared of what it means to be honest and vulnerable and share these things with God and to let Him shine a light on these things. But during these next few songs, I don't want you to run from those feelings. I don't want you to run from what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And I believe that what you are hearing is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Not just my words, but like in your heart, He has been whispering, He has been speaking to you, and that is God talking to you, and He has been moving inside of you. Don't drown that out. I want you to respond to that during these next two or three songs. And let the light of God shine on you and be reflected by you. You don't need to produce the light, because you're not a flashlight. You're a mirror.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.